Maybe it's much too early in the game, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing?
It's our third installment of Dig Deep on some of the big stories of 2017. I'm Heidi Holton with Chuck Marone and Aaron Brown. I usually pose the questions, I produce the segments and get those podcasts out there, but I usually don't participate beyond just being in rapt attention of both of you. So I'm kind of glad to bring up this topic. You guys know what I'm going to talk about, right? It is a big year for women. Wonder Woman came out in June. It was huge. I saw it fairly recently.
I go to a lot of movies.
Yeah.
I'm going to start this segment off on like a bad foot. I was not a big Wonder Woman fan. I know, really? Women who thought it was like the greatest movie ever.
Well, here's a couple of reasons why I thought it was the greatest. First of all, it's not a genre I usually watch.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
So for me, you know, kind of there's a spectacle that I don't usually see in the movies I watch. So there was that. But also, you know, it went back to where Wonder Woman came from, where she was at the center and she kind of controlled what she was doing in the world. It wasn't based on someone else coming in to save her or help her, because it changed. You know, the original comic books had like everyone had some inspiring women who were doing things in the world as part of the comic book. And later on, it was marriage tips and wedding tips and different, you know, household tips like that. So, it changed over time. So for it to come out now, a woman directing it, for it, it was like the biggest grossing origin story movie, you know, not just for women or any of that stuff, across the United States as well as the world. That for me was pretty significant, and how it ended up too, and how the story went. And, you know, that isn't, generally we're talking about, it's been a tough year for women, you know, right? But I think it's really interesting in all of those things, because mass media can often reflect, you know, what's going on in our world. And when we don't have those kinds of strong women role models, it actually deters from things. But that is kind of leads me to this conversation about these systems and how our society is set up. And I don't know if you want to talk about Wonder Woman, either of you, first, before I move into this other stuff. But well, I was very impressed.
I have now moved to a point in my life where I watch superhero movies when they come on free TV, because okay, there is just too many of them. So I didn't see Wonder Woman. I don't want to comment on what I can't fully understand.
Okay. Well, and there's this interesting stuff about
Mad Max reboot, was kind of a feminist thing too. And I thought that was an excellent movie.
I thought that was fantastic too.
So for me, there's some hope in some of the mass media symbols we're seeing.
It's funny though, Heidi. I do think that in this conversation, the release of Wonder Woman was surrounded with the women's power kind of conversation.
Right.
And I found that to be a really fascinating part of it. I didn't think the movie was all that great, but I also was going into it with a lens of trying to understand the women in my life who I could never have gotten to go to an action hero movie with me.
Okay.
All of a sudden we're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see Wonder Woman. I'm like, really? Because like, I asked you to go to Captain America 6 months ago, and you're like, I don't want anything to do with this. But all of a sudden now it's like, oh, we love action movies. And I did try to understand it from that lens. And I think it's interesting. I mean, I think it's important. I think movies reflect culture, and we have certainly seen, and I think I'm in an age group where my kids are Disney movies, just kind of getting out of that. But the Disney movies today are way different than the Disney movies of my youth. They are strong female characters who don't need someone to save them and rescue them, who are out like kicking butt and doing great things. And that's a market shift. And I think for people to celebrate that is natural.
Well, and I think there's some elements to that story. And again, I don't come from a superhero tradition. So for me, I'm kind of watching for a typical storyline. You know, she's coming from this world where she has never seen a car. You know, she's coming from these places. And there was some lightness to the storyline that were kind of fun, some quips. But they didn't have these scenes of this woman being totally out of place or kind of in a ridiculous moment, even though she didn't understand modern cars. culture. It's like that went by very quickly, and mm-hmm. it still was always about her power and what she wanted to do. I mean, she was misguided in why she was doing it and figured that out later. But anyway, I just wanted that to be sort of our basis for this conversation, because I think it's been a really interesting year. It's been an interesting year across the nation, but in Minnesota. And one of the things I want to start with is what happened in April when Representative Melissa Hortman on the floor of the House called out her counterparts for going into the back room mm-hmm. And playing cards. And at the time, I thought it was a metaphor.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize they were actually playing cards back there. But then she was, you know, she was defending. Representative Ilhan Omar was speaking about a bill that had to do with protesting, putting more money, or what am I trying to say?
Is that the anti-protest bill?
Yes. Yeah, yes. That was the conversation. Yeah. And then a kind of a herd of men went out as that conversation went on. So she started that and, you know, called them back and called them white, you know, the white men playing the card game in the back. Mm-hmm. And then she was pretty soon after that, one of the other, the male representatives said, that's racist. You can't say that. Mm-hmm. And then this becomes more about race as well as women at this time. But I think that was a really significant moment. And because she did it in the first place, and we all kind of found out that that's going on, and then that she wouldn't apologize for what she had done. And I found that as a really striking sort of thing. And it's interesting now that in November, we get this sexual harassment scandals coming out of the legislature. Not surprising, probably, mm-hmm. but interesting that there's a shift. And the system that is set up for government, for, you know, the legislature in general, has been set up by other people than who are coming in right now. And I just wonder from your points of view, is there a way to make changes within this? Because part of the conversation we're hearing, and I used to be a state employee working right there for 10 years by the Capitol, and yes, we went through the sexual harassment training, but they know that that does not deter that. There aren't the systems in place beyond, like, let's check out what happened, da-da-da, okay, you have a day off kind of thing. We think there was some stuff done, but that was about it. Mm-hmm. What do you think about these sort of systems and them being kind of unearthed right now?
I think for me, when we've had the conversations in this country about race, after Ferguson, after Philando Castile, I have found myself, even after going back to after OJ, right? I found myself at one point in my life thinking that I knew things that I later discovered, like, I'm clueless about. And I think that was an easy transition for me because I'm not African American. I live in a place that doesn't have a lot of African Americans in it. The ones I knew were pretty much at the same cultural underpinnings as us Norwegians, you know. I mean, they had celebrated the same holidays and talked the same way, and, you know, there wasn't a cultural difference. And I found myself in easy transition to spend more time listening than I did assuming that I knew something. And I feel like I benefited a lot from that. I think the very strange feeling that I've experienced over the last really year and a half, the second half of last year with the Clinton campaign and the way that Hillary Clinton was portrayed and discussed about, particularly by women, calling things that were going on, you know, sexist and patriarchal and what have you, things that I did not see that way. It's a different experience because I am, as a guy who lives with women, in a world with women, working with women, these women that I know very intimately are saying, you don't understand my world. Like, you don't understand my life. And I'm like, I live right next to you. Like, I live, and I'm not talking about my wife specifically. It sounds like that. I'm talking about, you know, you. I'm talking mm-hmm. about other people that I interact with and work with. It's like, how can I not understand your life? I am literally sitting right next to you. I literally spend time with you. How are we seeing this very differently? And it's been harder for me to try to pull down my kind of preconceptions about the world and actually listen and understand. I'll give you one like concrete example that's just really kind of blowing my mind right now. At work, we have six of us that work at Strong Towns, three women, three men. One of the recommendations that in our last retreat was we have to get rid of the font on our headlines on our website. And I'm like, why? Like, we've had this font. It's a male font. It's not a...
What font is it?
It's all caps. okay. is the problem. And they wanted, the suggestion was, basically the analysis was, it is off-putting to women the way that we have structured this particular headline format. And we need to go to a softer, like, we can have capital letters, but not all caps. And I looked at that and I said, you know, am I part of like some patriarchy trying to, you know, keep women under my thumb because I chose an all caps font? Like, I certainly that was not in my heart. Like, was that a reaction? And it's been one of these things where I've said, okay, clearly Matt Lauer is a pig, right? I don't have a problem saying that on the air. The things that he's alleged to have done, if he did them the way he did them, and it seems like he did, are pretty horrific. But are we getting to the point now where like we need to talk about fonts? And we need to talk about this kind of thing in terms of like making the power structure in this country reflect something different. Like, would the world look vastly different if women set these things up instead of men? And I'm starting to realize and understand that, yes, they really would. Everything from how we work to how we communicate to how we set up the structure of our offices, all of this would be different if it were set up by women. And that may be obvious to you. It's not obvious to me.
Right.
And I say this as someone who is, I would love strong, powerful women in our society. That's a very hard realization for someone like me.
Well, and I think that's the conversations that I have with men in my life are men I respect, including you two. And I would assume, and hopefully rightly, this has never been part of your makeup in the work that you do or in the life that you've led. I think we've all come to realize that there's something different when it comes to power as well with men. Not that you guys don't hold your own power in the fields that you are in, but there's something bigger going on. And sometimes it feels like the really good men in my life can easily say, well, I would never do that and I don't understand it. And then we can just be done with that conversation. Mm-hmm. Not look at the fonts. I mean, I'm not mm-hmm. for or against the font that you're speaking of, but,
but I mean, I think that's the point is that I would say to you like, well, I would never do that. But then now I'm coming to understand that even some of the subtle things that I'm not like overtly doing, maybe I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a healthy, this is like a painful transition we're going through, but I hope we're getting mm-hmm. to a healthier place.
I agree in that I really hope that this leads to a good conclusion. I wrote about it this morning. We happened to be talking on the day that Senator Franken resigned or announced he would resign. So it's certainly on our minds. I have an example, and I think what I teach communication at Hibbing Community College. So one of the things I teach is about male and female communication styles, them being different. And I always say, oh, okay, now when I say that they're different, it doesn't mean that every guy does it this way and every gal does it that way. It means that there are cultured, not genetic, but cultured differences between boys and girls when they're young. And that as a result of culturation and perhaps different outlook, communication styles have formed. And as you get into a power structure or a culture where it's more male-dominated, that will affect people. I teach it. I talk about it. But a few months ago, I was in a meeting with a very close colleague, someone I respect a lot. And it was me and her and somebody else. We were having a meeting talking about some work issue. And she was talking, and I thought of something, and I said something, and she cut me off and said, let me finish. And I realized she had never done that before. She was actually not mean, but firm.
Yeah.
And I realized, God, how much did I interrupt her? How much did I interrupt her?
Well, this is something I think about with you guys when we do Dig Deep, to tell you the truth, because I am someone who... the way I communicate is different than how you communicate. And we're here talking about the topics that are really relevant to the work that you do or things that you have studied. And so I kind of lead this, I, you know, produce it and everything. But when I re-listen to it, there are places where I hear, I should have questioned this. I should have said, why are you saying this? What is this happening? But the way that I communicate is to kind of listen first mm-hmm. and then I think there is something in women that when we're going to interrupt you, we need to feel completely confident that that is true rather than this is my opinion on this. Mm-hmm. This is not for all women, but I've talked to some other friends. So it's a different style of communication. You guys are not badgering me. It is not an uncomfortable situation here. But I realize it is, a different sort of thing. And then as I start to realize, like, okay, well, what is my role? It doesn't mean I'm demeaning what I do as part of this Dig Deep. It wouldn't be on the air unless I was here and doing this and making sure this got out to the proper channels. But it's interesting to think about the communication style. I often have the same thing with an interruption from men tend to do it more than women. I interrupt people all the time, but there is something very different that we don't know how to figure, because then when I don't take those moments to question either of you on what you've just said, then I listen to it later and it kind of, you know, it, there's a power thing there,
yeah,
that I didn't do it when it happened on the, at the moment. Also, you know, this is at the very end of my day. I've been doing a lot of crazy things all day long and I was up at 4. So there's that that happens when we record this piece, but.
Well, we just tend to go too.
Yeah.
I think the interesting question socially is, are those traits innate to women? In other words, will the workplace change as women become more, not just a larger role in the workplace, but a larger role in the management and the structures and the design of workplaces? Are those things going to change? Or are those not innate to women, but are part of a social thing where, because women have not had power, that's the way they approach things? Either way, I think that they will change in time. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a healthy thing. It's fascinating because as part of this sexual assault conversation we've been having now front and center for a couple months, it's been really important. But there's been a rehashing of Anita Hill and the Clarence Thomas hearings. There's been a rehashing of the Bill Clinton presidency and Monica Lewinsky. And I think we're all, you know, we're all of an age where those things, we remember them. Like, those were part of young experiences for us. I think everybody is looking back now at those through an historical lens saying, were we culturally screwed up or what? Like, if either of those things happened today, I mean, Al Franken now is being forced out of the Senate for posing with people and you know, grabbing them in places where...
In a entertainment comedy production.
Yes.
Before he was elected.
You've got, you know, Louis C.K., who allegedly asked permission, but the permission was, you know, he's a famous guy, so he has some power over the women he asked permission for. Therefore, there's a power dynamic that's not cool. We're looking at Bill Clinton, the president, with an intern. And I think looking back at history now through that lens is, I think, going to be a healthy way to bridge this gap of understanding, because a lot of people like me are just confused. Like, I grew up in this.
But here's the thing. Women are as confused as men on this because we were raised the same way.
Sure.
And so I think for a lot of men, you may think that, like, we've known all along that this is here. And certainly there are some things that we know. But that's what is so overwhelming about right now in our times, is that we knew, but we didn't know. So it is overwhelming to, like, look back. That's where the, you know, Me Too thing, it's really overwhelming to look back and think about, why did I make this choice? What happened? What went on? Because I was raised the same way that mm-hmm. you guys were, in that same society. And so it gets really confusing here.
Are you suggesting, and I know we're over time, I just want to ask you this. Are you suggesting, like, part of this is women waking up?
Yes.
To the fact that, like, they can be different today.
Yeah.
And then that's a really healthy thing. Mm-hmm. And I to me, that's a better explanation than, we've known this all along and you're mm-hmm. just clueless.
Yeah.
Because if we can wake up together, I think that that's a really healthy thing.
Wonder Woman, Chuck. Wonder Woman.
I'll give it another try.
And I was just going to say, I think human nature is to react to something that sounds like an accusation or something that's negative. People react defensively. That's a natural human inclination. I think we're seeing a lot of defensiveness. I'm a good guy. I would never do those things. I never did those things. Why would you say that? And then really, when you spend some time in thought, I can look back and say, you know what? I didn't mean any harm, but I can look back at times in my life where I maybe dismissed a concern.
Absolutely.
Interrupted or were unkind or were not considerate of a woman's point of view in a situation, or I treated somebody differently because they were a woman. That's right. Another thing that stands out in my mind now that I think back. So if we can respond with some thoughtfulness and self-reflection, that's true of life, by the way,
yeah,
we can probably do better than if we just draw battle lines and say that it's us versus them. And I think that's, I hope where it goes as well.
Well, what gets really complex and what can be difficult is when all of the women that have come forward on things, because, you know, we're iffy on what the background is and who declared what about which politician. If we don't write off all of those complaints because some of them seem faulty, you know, but that's a hard thing. That's not how the media is presenting this. And so that's where the difficulty for me in conversation with men is, when it's just shut down that, oh, this is good for their careers, this is da da da, this whole thing, when it may be true of some, but it may not be true of most of them, sadly.
To me, you know, I've been told that you should always believe these. And I, as a man, I've had a hard time with that. But I think if the shift is to, they should never be dismissed outright. To me, that's absolutely, I'm with you there.
Like, or first we question the person that's accused rather than the victim.
We can't,
you know, if we think, well, maybe
talk
about that rather than the other way around. And that seems to be what's happening. But anyway, thank you. That was a good conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi.
And we are going to move into a extra podcast only edition of Dig Deep. You can catch it at our website, kaxe.org.